Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast with the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Croft, Director of the Center, and I'm here today for part two of our toddler series with Priscilla Weigel and Dia Anderson. Welcome, you two.
Hello.
Hi. So glad to have you back, especially as you work so often with toddlers and child care providers who are working with toddlers.
Mm-hmm. And they crack me up, toddlers.
They do.
Can't help but just love them.
And we kind of laid some groundwork in our last podcast around, you know, toddlers and, you know, developmental, sort of the framework for where toddlers are. And so today we thought we would talk about some of the challenging behaviors, or behaviors, I guess, that we might typically see on a toddler that can sometimes wear us down a little bit.
Sure. And one example, and this was just in a discussion that I was having with someone yesterday, about a toddler that was throwing a car over and over again. And we know that children show us what they need through their behavior. So throwing that car over and over again, and the provider said, you know, I kept saying, you know, you can't throw the car, you got to put that car down. And so we talked about the fact that you could show the child something to do with that car, different ways to play with the car. And she said, yep, I did that. And then the throwing kept going on and on and on. So what do we see with that behavior? What does that child want to do? Throw.
Yep.
So then you find something that child can throw. And you say, you know what? The car's going to go take a break for a little bit. And then we're going to go get this ball, because that's what we can throw. And you show the child. But it's just that whole redirection piece that I think is probably the most overused but well-used tactic for behaviors that are a little bit challenging and trying for toddlers.
Yep.
It's like magic a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you, in our last podcast, you both talked about expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where sometimes people forget, especially with a child who's a little bit bigger than his peers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The expectations can sometimes be, why isn't this child more regulated?
Yeah.
And then you have to stand back and say, oh, wait, hold on. He only has, you know, 18 months of experience, or 20 months of experience in this world.
Which is really not much at all.
How much regulation.
Or maybe he's as tall as a 2-year-old, but he's only, you know, 18 months, and that's a big difference.
It's a big difference.
That is a big difference.
In that world.
And sometimes we see behaviors that do that we categorize them as challenging, and we actually parents get all worked up about them as well. One of those behaviors is biting. And, you know, it's real common to get all worked up and think that that child is just going to be stuck in this mode. And there are some children that do kind of get stuck in that biting stage, but it is a typical toddler stage. And the National Association for the Education of Young Children has put out some great information on just looking at biters and kind of their reasons behind the bite and why they bite. And I think it's really helpful to folks that are working with toddlers to just take a minute and look through that and be aware of that. And one of them is the experimental biter, you know, the infant that thinks, oh, what's this? I'm going to taste it. I'm going to chomp on it. Because they do. They're very oral beings, those little people.
Yeah, that's how they've been learning for, you know, the first months of their life.
Right. So the experimental biter is real common. And that's one that maybe would be the short-lived phase of, you know, this isn't for me, I'm not really going to continue on this stage. Sometimes we see the frustrated biter, which is another real common one because of those communication skills that are just emerging. Children are learning language and words, and they're learning that words mean things and they can affect other people's behavior, but they're not real savvy at using those words yet.
Right.
And they go to their go-to response, which is maybe chomping on somebody if they're trying to take a toy, or they might be really frustrated with the adult that's trying to get them to do something, and they might try to bite that person because it's a quick impulse. So that's another one that we see. The threatened biter, the child who feels like they're in danger, and they're going to fight back any way that they can.
Yep.
Biting's a pretty powerful tool, especially if you've got those teeth coming in. So
well, you can understand that notion, again, when you think about children in kind of sometimes bigger groups. And, you know, there's a lot going on, their level of understanding, you know, this I want this toy, this child's taking this toy from me, so that notion of threat is exacerbated by environment and lack of experience. And
well, and just being in close proximity with peers who are at the, you know, are developing the same skills and doing some of the same types of behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention unstable on their feet. They're still paddling.
Right.
So they might bump into somebody and that child might think, what are you doing bumping into me? And they, you know, they don't realize that it was an accident or that all of a sudden they're all tumbling down like a bunch of dominoes because one person just gave enough of a push to get those little unstable feet off the ground. And then there's the power biter. That's the child that's kind of figured out, wow, this is really a great tool. And I can wield a lot of power in this setting with just chomping on somebody.
Gets a really strong reaction from their peers and the adults in the environment.
So I think that just understanding those different types of biters is helpful because then you can say, oh, it's always all very important to look at patterns and trends. You know, sometimes that power biter might pick the same victim over and over again because they give a really good reaction, because there's a lot of screaming, or they drop whatever they're holding and they give it to that child. But biting is one that I think we get a lot of questions about, especially from parents, because you don't want to be the parent of the biter or the bitee.
Right.
Because it's not a fun situation. And many times providers get stuck in the mode of parents saying, you know what, we've had how many notices coming home saying that somebody's biting my child, and they know who that somebody is, even though they don't put the name on it. It's a tough situation. So just understanding that part of toddlerhood is a biting possibility.
Right, and I believe we did a podcast on biting, and people can refer back to that one for a longer and more information on maybe getting some good policies in place and a procedure in place when that does happen. But it is one of those common sort of toddler behaviors we want to think about in supporting their growth and development.
Right. And toilet training, I think a lot of people have that feeling of pressure to make sure that kids are potty trained before a certain point or by a certain point. And really the key is to let it happen at a child's true pace, because that's going to be the most consistent and the most successful for a child.
Right.
You know, their ability to know that they need, when they need to use the bathroom, doing, you know, being able to get there in time, being able to manage their own clothing. If you're going to put bib overalls on a toddler, it's going to be really hard for them to be successful getting to the bathroom on time, because they're not going to know how to get bib overalls off.
Yep, and things with buttons and snaps.
Right. Snaps and buttons, that's tricky. That's tricky. Or a belt, even though it looks super cute.
Right.
It's really a hard outfit to be wearing.
You know, even, you know, think about when we're busy, sometimes we don't like to stop.
Right.
And you know, stop what we're doing and take time to go use the bathroom. And, you know, you put that in on a 2.5-year-old child, and of course that's not going to be their first desire. They're going to want to stay and play with what they're playing with. Mm-hmm. And
which is great for engagement. You know, we really love that engagement.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. Yep. And some of the things that I think are really just helpful is to just be one step ahead for those toddlers, to know, kind of anticipate some of the patterns of their behavior, and to plan accordingly, to prepare them, make sure that they get plenty of good rest and nutrition. Toddlers need a lot of sleep. And one thing that I think we forget is, even though in the scheme of a family there are a lot of expectations, but that is something that we see more and more in behavior, is just a lack of sleep. Kids are worn out, and making sure that they're getting good naps and plenty of rest is really important. Remembering that they're little people, and that you have to respect them and what they need. You know, we talked about attachment in just a couple podcasts ago, and just the fact that we need to be in tune to their cues, and that they're new here. You know, you were saying 18 months experience on Earth as a human being, walking around and moving isn't very much time. And when the first quite a few months of that you were being held and carried, and now you're navigating the world on the ground, that's different. That's way different.
Yep.
And keeping things simple, not having a long dissertation on why a child can't do something.
Exactly. The more words you use, the quicker you lose them.
Right. And I think that that's something to reassure parents, is as a provider, to let parents know those short, concise phrases are really more conducive to success mm-hmm. for a child when you're giving directions and expectations. Mm-hmm. And as Dia said in our last podcast, too, I think that routine is so important. Consistency, routine, establishing those bedtime routines, establishing yeah. those pickup routines. I was just talking to a provider yesterday about that whole the challenge of pickup time, and it was a person that worked in a center, and they were talking about when the parent comes, how difficult it is because they see the child just kind of flip a switch and act like a completely different person. And when that child is within your care, you know, your rules apply. And so I think it's okay to model yep. to the parent and to step in sometimes and just say, you know what, remember your mom said it's time to take her hand and go out the door. I'll see you tomorrow. Yep. And give those parents an opportunity.
And to remember that at pickup time, parents are tired too.
Yeah, right.
You know, and how disappointing it is for them when the child doesn't want to go home
right.
with them, when they've been waiting to see them all day.
Yeah, so anything we can do to help establish that consistent routine is important. And that encouraging of curiosity and exploration is really important. Helping, I mean, going for a walk with a toddler is so much fun, but you don't get very far very fast.
No,
because they stop and look at everything. You know, they have to pick up everything on the ground. They notice everything.
Yeah.
Allowing for that is really important.
And really, with toddlers, you don't need a lot of fancy toys.
No, you don't. Yeah.
I mean, shoe boxes with covers and... Mm-hmm. You know, just simple things that they can make fun out of everything
right.
and anything. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, letting them be creative, and those transitions. You know, we think if we stopped and really counted our transitions in the day, it's overwhelming for a lot of kids. And so, just allowing for those longer times to really engage and explore is really important. And then to maintain your own calm and positive attitude. They're little mm-hmm. little tiny people. We have to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And sometimes they're in the no phase, too, which
right.
can sort of ruffle feathers sometimes. But remembering that, you know, oftentimes no doesn't mean no.
Right. It's just, I want to be in charge mm-hmm. somehow, some
yep.
way.
Yep. I need to have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. I think this is really helpful for people out there who are working with toddlers and thinking, oh, I want to, I sometimes forget all the special things I love about toddlers because I've been dealing with
mm-hmm,
this other
behaviors.
Situation
yeah.
and I've lost a little bit of my focus. It's good to bring people back around again and help them remember why they love those little ones so
mm-hmm.
much. So
yeah.
thank you both very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's all for now. See you next time.